John Molinaro, a senior soccer reporter at Sportsnet, and John Molinaro joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. It does seem, John, as if that record, it's just a matter of time right now before that record falls. But let me ask you this. When you see Toronto FC winning a match the way they won it yesterday, what's left for this team to play for right now? And, you know, I mean, they've got a fairly comfortable lead. You know, you do have the record, obviously, but at what point does Greg Vanney start thinking about looking ahead to the postseason and making sure that people get rested?
I think as we get closer to the end of the regular season, I think, you know, once we start getting into late September, early October, then he's probably going to start, you know, rotating players in a little bit, trying to get as many guys as many minutes as they can so that they're ready for the playoffs. But, you know, I think he's just going to continue on as it is. Even with that sort of, you know, sort of rotation, he's very kind of set in what he does and remaining focused. And I don't think he's going to change, you know, tactics all too much or focus. And they're clearly focused on wanting to finish in first place because they've never done that. So mm-hmm. in doing so, they win the supporters' shield, and plus it secures home field advantage all the way through the playoffs. So that right now is kind of step one. Once that's secured, then it's, you know, it's all about winning MLS Cup. And they'll tell you, I mean, for as great as this regular season has been, and it has been great, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't mean much unless they win MLS Cup. So that's still the end game here, regardless of what happens in the regular season.
What is it about this team, John, that explains the separation they've been able to get from the rest of the conference? I mean, obviously they're very good, and obviously they're very talented, but it also seems as if they have more depth than they've had in the past, and more useful depth than they've had in the past.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's one of the key sort of issues in terms of why they're so much better than the rest of the chasing field. When you have players the caliber of Tosin Ricketts and Nick Hagelin, although he's out right now, these are guys who could start, and Jonathan Osorio, these are guys who could start on most every other team in Major League Soccer. And they probably have about five or six such people who could start on any other team. And yet, you know, they're just bench players for mm-hmm. TFC. So there's great depth and there's great balance. I mean, it's not, you know, they have, you know, depth at the forward position, depth in midfield, depth in defense, depth at the goalie position. I mean, Clint Irwin, it was the MLS, he was, you know, starting for Toronto FC last year and all through the playoffs. And now he's, you know, he's essentially a backup to Alex Bono, and he could start literally on any other team in Major League Soccer, and he can't get a game. So I think it just speaks to the depth that this team has. It really is incredible when you think about it. And as I said, most of these guys who are, you know, scrounging to get minutes, would be playing regular football anywhere else in Major League Soccer. They just have to be unfortunate that they have to be playing in Toronto, where, you know, Greg Vanney has so many options at every single position.
Sebastian Giovinco seemed to enjoy the treatment he received from the Montreal crowd yesterday. He seemed to play up to it, didn't he?
He did, although it's funny you bring that up, because we asked him about that after the game. I mean, for people who don't know, the Montreal fans, they unfurled a big TIFO, a big sort of sign display, kind of making fun of him and calling him a crybaby and a bit of a diver. And when he scored, you know, the first goal off a sublime free kick, he kind of, you know, mockingly, you know, wiped tears from his eyes in front of the Montreal fans. And I asked him about it afterwards. He's like, "No, I didn't even see the TIFO. I don't pay attention to that." I think he clearly did. But yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that sort of, you know, gave him a little bit more sort of motivation to do well. Montreal is a team that always plays Toronto very close. Even, you know, they're 20 points apart now in the standing, so there's quite a bit, that's a large gap, but Montreal is Toronto's fiercest rivals. They always play them close, so I don't think there's any doubt that he was took extra joy in scoring a brace against the Impact.
So what do the Impact have to do now? Where are they left?
Well, they're still in the mix. I mean, they dropped down to seventh place, so the top six teams in the East go on to the playoffs. They've, you know, before this game, they had won four in a row after you know, a bit of a troubling summer. So they appeared to turn things around. I still think they can get in the playoffs. It's just a matter of, I think they have to be a bit more defensively sound. They concede way far too many goals. And, you know, they've got a tough schedule ahead. They've got to play Toronto twice more, two times at BMO Field. And I don't think many of their remaining opponents, like, I think the majority of them are like teams who are sort of in the playoff mix. So they just got to grind it out here. They can't really afford to drop too many points because the East is so very competitive. So any sort of setbacks is really going to hurt their chances. There just has to be, you know, consistency there.
Now we are in the middle, or we are starting another international break. And I did want to ask you, because I don't have this in front of me, is this the last international break before the end of the MLS season, or is there one more?
No, I believe there's one more. There should be one in October. I believe.
In October, okay.
Yeah.
Canada will be playing Jamaica on Saturday at BMO Field. What's the next step for the Canadian team here under their new coach? What do they want to do against Jamaica, who gave a pretty good accounting of themselves in the Gold Cup?
Right. I think it's just kind of build upon what they set as the foundation at the Gold Cup, where they came out and played very attacking football, very fearless football. They didn't play without fear. There was no sort of reservation or hesitation. And I think that's a major cultural shift within this team because, you know, under previous coaches, it's long been Canada has shown far too much respect to their opponents. Yet during this tournament, they really kind of came out and gave it, you know, played to win as opposed to not to lose.
Mm-hmm.
I think he wants to sort of build upon that during this next year and a half and, you know, leading up to the next round of World Cup qualifiers. So if he can sort of use games like this to sort of further ingrain that culture, then I think that's, you know, that's what he's going to do.
Of course, Jamaica beat Canada 2-1 and eliminating Canada from the Gold Cup. But I think we can all agree that game, maybe more than any other game to me, really kind of showed what the Canadian team, what we want them to be about. I mean, they were attacking to the end. They had chances at the end. And I guess the thing a lot of people would be interested in seeing is the continuing working into the group of Kyle Larin as well. I mean, obviously he was not with the team on a full-time basis at the Gold Cup. He was added in the latter stages of the tournament, but I think it'd be interesting to see him for a full 90 minutes, maybe from the start, and seeing how he kind of fits into the workings of this team right now.
Oh, absolutely, and especially with, you know, young players the caliber of Alphonso Davies and you know, so many others. It'd be really interesting to see how he sort of, you know, how Larin mixes in with those guys and if he can develop some chemistry. Larin, you know, very prolific scorer for Orlando City in Major League Soccer, but I think he's kind of underwhelmed somewhat for Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Not nearly as productive. So it'd be interesting to see if he can kind of, you know, gel with, you know, this new crop of youngsters and really kind of get going, because they could badly use his goals, you know, going forward.
And as far as Octavio Zambrano is concerned, you know, he has made an impact on this team in a really short time frame. Mm-hmm. as head coach of the Canadian team. What is the next step in the evolution of this team strategically, I guess, if I could put it that way? You know, what do you need to see from this team in the next, sort of taking that next strategic step forward?
Well, it's a boring answer, but I think just consistency. You know, they did really well at the Gold Cup, far better than I thought. But, you know, that's not World Cup qualifying. That's kind of like a short, you know, window of time. World Cup qualifying is a marathon. It's a climb. And you got to go down to places like Honduras and Costa Rica and Central America and get results, which is something Canada historically has, you know, struggled to do. So while it's great that they did at the Gold Cup, you know, the next step is being able to, you know, sort of transplant that success to when it really matters. And, you know, as I said, World Cup qualifying is a grind. It is a real challenge. You know, it's a two-year process, so consistency is the key. I think that they've got to show that that's the next step, that they can yes, they can sort of do well at the Gold Cup, but can they do it over a 2-year period when the results really matter? That, to me, is kind of the next tactical step.